I am Donald S. Coffey. I am a professor at the Johns Hopkins University School of Medicine in the Department of Urology, Pharmacology, Oncology, and Pathology. Those are four departments.
What have you made of meeting so far?
Well, what happens is that life, the mystery of life, in the advanced part of our life, we age, and with aging we develop cancer, and not everyone develops cancer. One out of three do, and one out of four people will die from it. So this is the big major disease with heart and strokes that affects people around the world. And so we're at a loggerhead in trying to understand what the issues are here in both life and cancer. Now, many years ago, a famous physicist wrote an article. His name was Schrodinger, and he called it "What is Life?" And he's the man who figured up there's a field called quantum mechanics. Now, quantum mechanics is so mysterious in itself that it's almost mind-boggling. What he had observed is that when a particle comes up to a slit and goes through the slit, like it's going to make a dot on your television screen, what it does, it actually goes two ways at the same time. So the actual particle appears in two different places, and it's wavelengths. So how can something that's solid be a wavelength, and how can you be at two places at the same time, and how do they interact? And this is called entanglement. And so from entanglement, it means that each of these particles are somehow either aware of themselves and they respond in some similar ways. Now, is that a bunch of physics that's just highfalutin that is for the people upstairs to think about? Well, it turns out they're trying to figure out how birds migrate from Europe down into South Africa. And when they look at that, it turns out to be a quantum mechanic mechanism. That is, that the birds have the ability, when they migrate, to visually see the magnetic field. Now, they're going by a whole new system here that we hadn't even thought about for cancer in life. And many years ago, Paul Davies had a meeting called the Quantum Mechanics of Biology. Well, that was on the real cutting edge. But now it's turned out that it reaches into some things that evaporate some mysteries. The second one is that when the sun comes down and hits a tree, it is so efficient in capturing that energy and converting it into the chlorophyll. I'm using chlorophyll to convert this into foods that we eat, sugars and things like this, that no one can understand how it's that efficient. We talk about solar collectors, but nothing we do here. I mean, most of the engines and things we make run at 10-20% efficiency. But this solar collector, made by nature over the years, is just way up there around 90-some percent. Well, now they found out in several important papers that have been published within the last 2 years that this too uses a quantum mechanics method of transferring this information. Now, that was controversial, but every day it looks clearer and clearer that this truly is how the sun works, how birds migrate. Now, let's come back to cancer. We're here to look at quantum mechanics of cancer. It's apparent that all the forces, gravity, light, energy, all these things are part of life, and cancer is an aberration in the life process. So what's come out of this meeting is dozens of important concepts being developed here in the Department of Beyond here at Arizona State, in which they're looking at how does quantum mechanics actually have a role to play in the cancer. Now, I have never been to a meeting on that issue. I've spent my life in this field 50 years, and this is the first time these types of things have been discussed. So almost everyone at this table I did not know before. I'd never seen them. I'm in the cancer field. They had never seen me. They're in the quantum mechanics field of physics. And together, it was just electrifying.
Can you just tell me, why is it that biologists have not got together with the quantum physicists before now?
Why haven't you talked to an oyster?
I never thought of talking to an oyster.
That's right. We never thought of talking to a physicist. In other words, you talk to people you interact with. You talk to people that you know, okay? So if I move down your block, five blocks, there are people everywhere you don't talk to. And you don't talk to them because you don't have a common interest, you don't go to the same meetings. And so in any field, it breaks up into specialists. I mean, if you go to any university, the people in one department hardly know what the other department's doing. Even in art, I mean, people who are into choreography, they don't understand sculpturing and other things. They might appreciate it, okay? But they don't understand the issues that are afloat there. So that's the way it is in science. Physicists, chemists, biologists, cancer people. You go to a hospital, our plate is full of trying to take care of people and figure out what we can do for Mr. Jones or Miss Smith, who's sitting there with an advanced cancer and their family's involved. There's all sorts of things involved. And we hardly even have time to talk to the cell biologist, much less the physicist.
Yes, well, hopefully something productive will come out of this because new ideas seem to be badly needed.
Well, all new ideas are resisted. And as soon as someone comes up with the Galileo, he takes his telescope, he looks out there, he says, wow, nobody wants to believe him. But then he didn't even understand 0.1% of what's out there. And that's the way we are right now. We're looking at quantum mechanics. We're seeing some really strong signals that it's more involved than we believed, and it has something to do with life. It has something to do with biology and with cancer and with aging. We don't know as we make better telescopes here where this is going to go, but this is some of the early events to try to bring us together.